नारद उवाच भो भो प्रजापति राजन् पाश्यं पाश्या त्वया द्वारे संज्ञापितां संज्ञापितां जीवासंगीरां जीवासंघां निर्घृणेन सहाशशा नारद उवाच भो भो प्रजापते राजन् भो भो प्रजापते राजन् पाशुं पाश्य त्वया द्वारे पाशुं पाश्य त्वया द्वारे संज्ञापितां जीवासंगं संज्ञापितां जीवासंगं निर्घृणेन सहाशशा निर्घृणेन सहाशशा नारद उवाच भो भो प्रजापते राजन् पाशुं पाश्य त्वया द्वारे संज्ञापिता जीवासंगं निगृह्मेन सहाशशा
The great sage Narada replied, Bo, bo, hello, Prajapate, O ruler of the citizens, Rajan, O king, Pashun, animals, Pashya, please see, Dvaya, by you, Advare, in the sacrifice, Samjnapitam, killed, Jiva Sangam, groups of animals, Nirgrinena, without pity, Sahashasha, in thousands. Translation. The great saint Narada Muni said, O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena, purported by His Divine Grace, Ex-Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because animal sacrifice is recommended in the Vedas, there are animal sacrifices in almost all religious rituals. However, one should not be satisfied simply by killing animals according to the directions of the scriptures. One should transcend the ritualistic ceremonies and try to understand the actual truth, the purpose of life. Narada Muni wanted to instruct the king about the real purpose of life and invoke a spirit of renunciation in his heart. Knowledge and the spirit of renunciation, Jnana Vairagya, are the ultimate goal of life. Without knowledge, one cannot become detached from material enjoyment. And without being detached from material enjoyment, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Karmis are generally engaged in sense gratification, and for this, they are prepared to commit so many sinful activities. Animal sacrifice is but one such sinful activity. Consequently, by his mystic power, Narada Muni showed King Pachinabarishad the dead animals which he had sacrificed. Translation one more time. The great saint Narada Muni said, "O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Yesterday we had a wonderful lecture by His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, and he mentioned actually that our service, what we actually supposed to do, our duty, is to gain knowledge and to share knowledge. Gaining knowledge means gaining the good characteristics, means gaining the knowledge from the Vedas, and sharing means preaching. So if we are engaged in those two activities, if we maintain proper spiritual life and try to share, to be compassionate, trying to share with others, then we're going to have a very successful life. This is not only one life which we perform. This is one of the many lives, and most of us are here in this material world for not just many centuries, but many millions of years already. We have to be aware of that we have a very rare opportunity in this life to advance probably much more than we advanced in any of the previous lives. By his mystical power, Narada Muni, he showed King on the sky all animals which he sacrificed as a king in the sacrificial arena for years. So King Prachanaparishad, he was a good king. He had a great children who did many sacrifices, as you probably hear from another speakers here a couple of days back. His sons Prachetas, they did many different, let's add, mystical activities to satisfy the Lord. I mean, they were standing for 10,000 years on the portion of the water, just praying prayers which Shiva gave to them. This is something what we cannot perform now. There is explanation actually that the Holy Lila happened in Satya Yuga, where average life was about 100,000 years. So 10,000 years to do sacrifices for the Lord, it was not a common thing, but there was many sages in the time who performed such sacrifices. But that was great from Prachetas. But their father, king, was not that advanced in that time. He was ruling the kingdom, he was a natural kshatriya, he was taking care about his duties, but he also was enjoying in his life. So in the moment when he got a special mercy, when he met Narada Muni, actually Narada Muni came to see him, from beginning he understood, he realized, well, it looks like the time's come for me to surrender, to change my life. And that is the special mercy of Narada Muni, that sometimes he's showing when we need him most. So he showed in front of the king and he told him first, my dear king, I think it's your time for the next level in your life. It's not enough just to follow rules and regulations. It's not enough. Now you have to surrender and to go higher. So the king, he did all sacrifices on the proper way. It was not improper. They did all rituals. They did everything right in arena. But Narada Muni mentioned here clearly, it was all without compassion and without mercy. When you're performing different rituals in Satya Yuga, by purpose I'm telling Satya Yuga, because those kind of rituals are not recommended for another yugas, especially not for Kali Yuga. You have to do it everything on very right way. If there is one small single mistake in the, not in mantra, in pronouncing the mantra or in doing the ritual, those animals, the purpose of that ritual is those animals to get the life of human being in the next life. Those animals will not get that. Those animals will not get that benefit, and the whole ritual is wrong. And many of those elements will remain somewhere, you know, floating around until somebody compassionate don't pray for them to come back down. So there was many animals, because they did without compassion, without mercy, you know, there was many animals who was actually suffering because of that. There was a killing without a need. And Narada Muni just wanted to show King that this is not the highest platform, that he can do better, that he is ready for better. The way how he accepted Narada Muni in the beginning, it was very wonderful. He said immediately, he didn't say, why you came, I'm doing everything right, what's wrong, why you want to help me, I don't need help, and like that. No, he immediately surrendered to Narada Muni and he told him, please teach me. Please tell me what is good for me. This meeting with you has a great benefit for me. Now I'm surrendered soul to you, please teach me. And that was the right, that was the great invitation for Narada Muni to open his heart and to be honest with King and to tell him all different areas of life which King can develop. So, in purport of Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned the magical word, Jnana Vairagya. That's the spirit of renunciation. So in one stage of our life, or in the line of lives, we have to seriously consider to reach that stage, to develop desire to take part of that stage of renunciation. What does it mean, renunciation? When somebody's bad condition of his life, when somebody has a very difficult time in his life, maybe somebody dear died, passed away, or some good relationship suddenly break, or he lost his job, or he wants to change everything in his life, or whatever. Usually in those kind of stages, we decide to change something and we decide to be renounced. But actually, most often in those kind of stages in our life, we don't have a clear reasoning. It's very nice, it's very good that we want to change something, it's very good to accept renunciation, but usually that renunciation doesn't last long. It lasts for a short period until we don't put life together, and then again we start old story. Desire for renunciation is coming actually from the higher platform. Jnana Vairagya is something what comes on the very high platform of the consciousness. Actually, usually when we are quite advanced phase of our life, of our devotional life, and in one moment we decide, okay, I don't need so much opulence around me. I don't need so much pleasure and enjoyment around me. I want to renounce slowly. Renunciation doesn't mean one day, poof, everything gone. I'm going in the cave, I'm going to chant for the rest of my life, my rounds. I don't want any sense enjoyment around me, I don't want people around me, I just want to surrender to my dear Lord. No, this is not renunciation, this is running away. It's good, it's recommended for certain sampradayas, but not for our sampradaya. For our sampradayas, renunciation means being in association of devotees, having interactions, but giving up from enjoyment, from personal enjoyment. That's renunciation. So today I will discuss a little bit about karma kanda process, about karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Most of us, we are going around and in our interaction we call each other devotees. We call each other bhaktas. Bhakta this, bhakta that. Actually, when I was in the beginning of my spiritual life, there was already so many initiate devotees around and they called me Bhakta Vladan. You know, and for me that was like, oh, I cannot wait to get initiation. I hate this karma name, you know, Bhakta this and that. That means I'm small. I want to have something thus. But actually, Bhakta is something extremely high. It's extremely high title, which I was not aware in that time, but now, fortunately, by Krishna's mercy, slowly, I start to realize how high is that. Bhakta means, bhakti actually means devotion. Sanskrit word means devotion. It means whatever one person is doing, the whole meditation during a day and even during a night is to give pleasure to the Lord. Whatever we are doing, anytime, we are doing for the pleasure of the Lord. That's bhakti. That's bhakti process. So since I understood that, I don't see myself as a bhakta, as devotee. I can be eventually candidate for bhakta, candidate for devotee. Until we are not on the level of the pure love, actually we are just candidates for devotees. And that's great, that's fantastic, that's amazing. So karma kanda process is the process where we are starting to be aware that whatever we are, karma means activity. Karma is activity. Whatever we are doing, we can do either for our personal enjoyment, either for enjoyment of somebody else, either for enjoyment of Krishna. Even if you're doing something that another person suffers, that's some kind of enjoyment for us. It's very low class enjoyment. It's enjoyment in the mode of ignorance, but it's enjoyment. So whatever we are doing for somebody's enjoyment, usually for our personal enjoyment. And that's where we are on the level of karma. We are getting karma, we are releasing karma, and the process of karma means that we are under the influence of material energy. So there are three different kinds of people, three different kinds of personalities. When you accept to follow the rules and regulations, when we accept to follow the laws of the nature, when we accept to follow the regulations given in the Shastras, there are three different kinds of people who follow that. One kind of people we call karmis. So karmis is not just somebody who is outside and who just do his enjoyment. Karmis is also the higher category, and I will explain about that. The other category, second one, is jnanis, jnana knowledge, jnanis. And the third one is bhaktas. Let's discuss about karmis first. There are again two different kinds of categories, two different kinds of karmis. Karmi, another name for karmis are fruitive workers, fruits. You know, whatever you're doing, you want fruit of your work. So fruitive workers means karmi. And one is sakama karmis. Those karmis, they do whatever they're doing for their personal enjoyment, sakama karmis. Whatever they perform, they don't offer to the Lord. They just do for their selves. They like parties, they like nice life, they like so many opulences around them. they like to travel, they like to enjoy the life, positive energies, they like all different kind of activities which going to make them pleasure, which going to have a nice exchange with their senses. So those are sakamakarmis. This is the lowest level of enjoyment. You have many movements now around the world about positive thinking, beautiful energies, peace, love, harmony, music, this. That's all great. But that's only comparison with bhakti, is the lowest level of karmis. Still. Eventually, if you advance in that kind of life, you can achieve benefit in next life to go on the highest planets. And then from those highest planets, you have to come back again later, after a little bit of enjoyment there. That's it. So this is, there are many, many new age movements around the world. They're propagating. Just develop nice characteristics. Love people, love life, enjoy, love good music. You know, send a positive vibration around you. Everything is about me, mine, and my enjoyment. And that's fine, but this is the lowest level. We have to go higher if we want to achieve the higher happiness. And if we want to achieve eternal happiness, then we have to go highest, what is bhakti. Second category of karmis are naishkama karmis. Naishkama karmis are karmis in one moment when you're sakama karmis, you realize, okay, everything is fine, I feel good, sometimes I feel bad, I'm hardly trying to enjoy, but then I realize actually that I'm not the center of the universe. I'm not the one who's supposed to enjoy. And then I start to offer the fruits of my work to the Lord on direct or indirect way. So this is actually the beginning of Karmi Yoga. Karmi Yoga is not yoga for karmis. Karmi Yoga is actually yoga for those who want to release themselves from karma. Karmi Yogis, they offer everything to Krishna with the level of obligation. I have to do that because it's written in Shastras. I have to do that because it's my obligation. I have to do that because spiritual master told me that. I have to do that because I just have to do it. That's Karmi Yoga. And that's not Bhakti Yoga. Please don't mix those two things. Karmi Yoga means we start to realize what is the karma and how to go out of that chain of karma. Then we have Jnanis. Jnanis, they want to know more. They want to find out answers. They're really eager to find out what is truth. So Jnana Yoga is on one way higher than Karma Yoga. But there is explanation in Srimad Bhagavatam that actually it's easier to come on the level of Bhakti through the channel of Karma Yoga than through the channel of Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means I have questions, again me, I have questions, I want to find out the truth. I have doubts, I don't have faith or have a little bit faith, I want to increase. Beginning of each sentence is I, me, mine, again. So, I'm looking for knowledge, I start to develop knowledge, I start to read Shastras, I start to gain the knowledge, I'm asking many questions, I'm going around, and that's nice. But Jnana Yoga without Karma Yoga cannot go together. You have sometimes skeptics, they're just going around and he's telling, I don't want to follow this kind of those regulations and everything until I don't realize in my heart, in my head, what is the truth. I have doubts, I have questions, I believe a little bit, I don't believe a lot, and I want somebody to prove me. After you prove me, I will follow. Otherwise, I will not. And that's the beginning of Jnana Yoga. Then you start to ask, to look for the answers. Of course, each new answer will gain new questions. New answers, new questions, new answers, new questions. On the end, again, you are in the chain. And we are never convinced 100% on the end. Because the last chain is missing always, and the last chain is faith. Krishna wants us to have faith in Him. And that's why we're never going to have absolute realization. 100% convincement that this is absolute truth. It doesn't work like that. Even in Vrindavan, where all habitats of Vrindavan was at the level of bhakti, they was not convinced always that Krishna will win when he's in battle with demons. There was actually only one person who never was disturbed. Only one person who was always very peaceful and said, "Don't worry, he will come back." Do you know who was that one? Balaram, yes. Everybody else, including Mother Yashoda, including Rishi Mati Radharani, including everybody, because they are on the level of personal love, it's very high level, it's pure Bhava Bhakti. They was worried about Krishna. Deep in their hearts, of course, they knew that nobody can harm Krishna, but they was worried about him. But because Balaram is the one who is actually giving shelter of faith, Balaram is the one who is protector of believing with Krishna. Balaram is actually the entrance for Krishna. Balaram is not different than Krishna. Balaram was never disturbed. He was not on that level of extreme compassion. He was actually on the level of faith, of believing. And that's why he always was very peaceful and very sober, and he was always the one who was going around telling everybody else, "Don't worry, everything is fine. Krishna is coming back. He will win this time again. And he will win always." That's pure faith. So if we want to develop that last chain, if we want to develop faith, we have to pray to Lord Nityananda or Lord Balaram. Because they are protectors. They are protectors of the faith. They are protectors of that last chain which we're gonna miss. And they're gonna save us from the final fruits of Jnana Yoga. Because if we are successful in Jnana Yoga, again, we can reach only higher planets. In the best way, Brahma Jyoti. Never spiritual planets, only with Jnana. The third level is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, or Yoga with devotion, means whatever I'm doing with love. And love is not a cheap feeling. Love, we cannot build like muscles. You go in gym, now I see more and more devotees coming there, we're trying to pump muscle. Well, you cannot build love. Love is a feeling, a very deep feeling, and very honest feeling, which has to be developed naturally. Love, we have to develop naturally. So if we want to develop love for some person, in this case for Lord Krishna, what is our ultimate goal, we have to do things which will make pleasure to the Lord. On beginning, on the level of Karma Yoga, that means I feel obligation to do arati for Krishna. I feel obligation to offer these fruits to the Krishna. I feel obligation to chant to the Lord. Then slowly, 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 because I'm giving something to one person, even on the level of Karma Yoga, naturally I will develop attachment after some time. And with attachment, love is coming. So basically for years, and not just years, lives, we have to practice Karma Yoga to achieve, to reach a level of bhakti. Bhakti is the highest. Bhakti means I love Krishna and I always gonna love him. And I never ever anymore gonna fall down. And I don't care where I am. Am I in the spiritual world or I'm on the hellish planets or I'm on here with the middle planets, on the higher planets. I don't care about that. I just want Krishna. If he is next to me, I can go wherever. But he should be with me all the time. That's my only condition. That's love. When you're fulfilled with somebody's presence, that's bhakti. And that's the highest level. And without bhakti, we cannot go back on Goloka Vrindavan. Eventually we can achieve the lower planets in the spiritual world, which is great. But Goloka Vrindavan, the key, the entrance for Goloka Vrindavan is bhakti. Pure bhakti. Not any kind of pure bhakti. Pure bhakti level. That means full absorbed in Krishna. I had different friends of devotees, even sometimes they're coming, they said, Which kind of world is that when you're just thinking about one person all the time? You want to satisfy only one man, one person. What is that? It's very hard, it's very difficult. I have my family, I have my friends, I have this, I have that. Just to think about one man all the time and to give him energy, and he is giving me, and he is in the same time thinking about many people around. What that? But actually, through Krishna, we have a feeling of happiness that no one else can give us. Not any member of the family, not any friends, anybody else except Krishna. Only Krishna, only meditation on Him can give that pure happiness, that pure pleasure. And that pleasure is actually coming from Srimati Radharani. So in one way, just by thinking on Lord, we actually gain benefit of having relationship with the whole world. And we have it. We have it. We have many interactions still. We have so many different activities, we are not losing our life, we are getting perfect life. That's different. And that's Goloka Vrindavan. So, karma yoga means when eternal bliss is the goal of ritualistic activities. And karmi has to become ascetic. You know what is the word ascetic? Asceta, ascetic. Means somebody who enjoys simple life. Somebody who is not anymore into buying a perfect this, buying a perfect that, going in the perfect places. Who can be anywhere, and if there is a simple life, if there is my japamala, if there is altar, if there is Krishna around and devotees, I'm happy. This is ascetic in devotional service in our moment. Another moment, they have their own ascetics, you know. I was in Greece, for example, on the North Greece, they have an island with more than 100 Christian sampradayas, and they don't have electricity there. They only one phone, landline, on the entrance of the island. They have more than 3,000 different priests. They are in full meditation and prayers, they're chanting their meditations over there. They have their own rituals. It's a very interesting place to see. I mean, I think Advaita Chandra, he mentioned one time on Mayapur Community Forum also about that place. So it's interesting to feel that high energy. And they have their own cells. There is a cliff, 100 meter deep cliff, and they build, and there are some natural caves, small, very small caves, and also they build some holes in the caves. And they're coming down by the rope, and they enter there, and for 2-3 years, they just stay in one hole, they're bringing them food by the rope and new clothes, they're taking old clothes one time per day, they're just praying and chanting their prayers there. It's very high from one side. This is ascetics in the Christianity. They're doing austerities, they're doing amazing things. The only problem is, they don't develop devotion on the end. Oh yeah. They're doing karma yoga, they're doing austerities, but they don't get known better the person, because on the beginning of their spiritual life, they're telling them the God is energy, is everywhere. There is no face. Sometimes they put some face there with a big white beard and this and that, but there is no clear explanation. There, when I was there, I asked 5 different, very high class priests. I asked them, okay, who is the God? Who is that person? Please explain me. I got 5 different answers. 5 different answers from all the highest level people over there. And that was strange for me. It's great to be a asceta. It's great to do austerities. But you need to have a purpose of asceticism. And for us, purpose is to develop love for Krishna. Krishna Bhava. That's our purpose. Another great thing about even demons, they're doing asceticism sometimes. If they want to develop different powers, if they want to be strong demons, if they want to achieve amazing things, you just remember Ravana, Kamsa, just remember all different very, very high class demons in the past. They did austerities for thousands of years to achieve some benefit. But the final goal of austerity was actually again their personal enjoyment. So whoever is doing austerities for his own personal enjoyment, he is not different than demons. It's very difficult and hard, because demons from one side, from the other side, demons, they did austerities and they don't care to hurt another people. You can do some time enjoyment to develop some skills or whatever without having attention to hurt somebody else. And that's fine. In that case, you don't have a demon mentality. We don't have a demon mentality. But our asceticism always as devotees should be connected with worshipping the Lord, worshipping the Lord Krishna. And that's the proper, that's the right asceticism. In 643, in Tatram Buddhi Samjogam, there is explanation that the great thing about doing different austerities in this life is wherever you stop in this life, you will continue in the next one. So karma yoga is like that. Whatever we are doing in this life, whatever our rituals we're performing, austerities, how many rounds we chant, prayers and everything else, how much we develop our character and our desire for Krishna in this life, from that stage we will continue next life. Who is in the level of bhava, bhava bhakti, basically on the level of bhakti or devotion, he's not born again. He's going back to a spiritual world. But who is the level of karma yoga, he will be born again in the family of some high class brahmana, or in the family of some merchants, they call it. This, that means high class vaishyas with a lot of income. And he will be able, easy, without so much of tension, to develop his process, to develop achievement in this life. And that's great. That's amazing. So, our progress is guaranteed. But there is only one thing which we have to avoid. One kind of obstacle which we have to avoid, and that's Vaishnava Parad. I will go back on end of today's talking. So, Srila Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, if we go back on the verse, he said that those who kill the animals and give them unnecessary pain, and as people are doing in the slaughterhouses, will be killed in the same way in the next life and lives after that. In the same way, just to feel same suffering. So, even Christians, they have the famous one, thou shall not kill. That means we should not be killers. And it didn't written you should not kill only people. It's written we should not kill. That includes animals as well, even plants. So karma doesn't mean only killing animals. Karma means killing plants. And that's why we have a big fortune. We have a great fortune. Again, Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita that we can, Bhagavad Gita 3:13, that we can actually offer whatever we cook for Krishna, flour, fruit, leaf, water, we can offer to him and he will accept. And that offering will be released from karma. In that case, we don't gain more karma. And whatever was pain that plants were suffering, even on the low level of consciousness, still some pain is there. Whatever is trouble, actually it will go for the benefit of those beings. So that's why that's a big worry for devotees, that we should not eat the food which is not offered to the Lord. That's important. We should not use any flowers, any leaves, even the water, if it's not offered to the Krishna. We should develop that consciousness and we should stay on the level of that consciousness. This is the basic. This is karma yoga. This is not still bhakti yoga. This is still the level of duty. And then later, with the full love in the bhakti, we offer all that to Krishna. And that's love then. This is where love starts. So now, after all this discussion, there is not so much light, there is not so much hope for us, isn't it? I mean, it's very high, it's very difficult, it's very hard. Life is very short in Kali Yuga, only 60, 70, 80 years, right? Sometimes even shorter, we don't know that. Krishna knows. And what is a cope? What is a benefit? How we can achieve that? Well, there is one recipe which we all can follow, and that's praying for mercy. See, the king, he was one serious characteristic of him was he was always praying for mercy, and in one day the person in Narada Muni came and gave him the pleasure, gave him the benefit of his association. We always, again and again, he has to pray for mercy. Again and again he has to pray for benefit, to understand and to follow and to develop the strength and develop love towards the Lord, towards the Krishna. Even when somebody is not praying for mercy, he gets the mercy. That's a limited mercy of the Lord. And for this age of Kali, there is one particular channel how we can achieve love, how we can reach Krishna. There are many devotees, they develop love for Radha Shyama Sundar. So they're doing Radha Shyam for the whole day, they're full-time absorbed in Krishna Lila, Radha Krishna Lila. But actually, that's great, that's fantastic, but it's very hard on that way to achieve the pure love, because we are skipping one step. And that step is given actually in Kali Yuga, that step actually is the step of Bhava Bhakti, which only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to us until now. It was beginning of Kali Yuga when Krishna, Lord Krishna showed up, but actually he's the one who cannot show up in that form in the Kali Yuga. That's why he came on the end of Dwapara Yuga. But the point is that in Kali Yuga only there are two incarnations can show up. One is Narayan and the other one is Kalki. In this Kali Yuga we have a special benefit. Like in the last Kali Yuga, Narayan came in the form of Balaji. So whenever you go in Tirupati, when you have the special darshan with Lord Balaji, Balaji is actually the previous incarnation of Narayan in the last Kali Yuga. That's Balaji. And that's so great. But this Kali Yuga we have a very special mercy. Personally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. It's not that only Krishna came, actually Radha and Krishna came in one package. And they're not different than Radha Shyam. And they gave us the pure love. So actually the ultimate mercy to achieve the love for Krishna we can get through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates, of course. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, my wife, she reminded me, we were discussing about that, and she reminded me about story of the fishermen in the Jagannath Puri. So one time they lock him many times actually in Gambira, and they was afraid always that something heavy will happen to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was on extremely high levels of consciousness. He was losing his consciousness all the time. He was screaming in the pain for the Lord all the time. He was crying. He was chanting all the time Krishna's name. And he could not exist one second without mentioning Krishna's name. And all the time, in that loose level of consciousness, he was running out, he was walking around the Jagannath Puri, and sometimes he walked into the ocean, sometimes he just lost his consciousness, his feet fell down on the middle of the street. So devotees who was around him, they could not do anything to stop him to do that. It was very hard to follow that high level of consciousness. It was very extremely hard to understand it. Many people in that time was thinking that Chaitanya is crazy. Many people was thinking that he is not in the proper level. Who is he? What he is doing? Nobody before him had such kind of meditation like he is performing. What is that? It was so strange to see. Even for us, if we are right now just projecting 500 years ago and saw his Jagannath Lila, Jagannath Puri Lila, it would be very difficult for us to see, understand. So the closest disciples, the closest associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't have another choice but locking him in Gambira, this small room, and they just locking him there and trying to keep him. They always had some guards around to protect him, but somehow, on one way or another, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always escaping. They opened the door, Chaitanya is gone. He's not there anymore. So one day, the same thing happened, and then they was looking for him all around the place, and they could not find him, and they thought he already left the planet. He already disappeared. And then one man, one fisherman, just the regular person who was not a devotee, who never did a chant, who had a simple life and a simple family, who was just going every day to catch some fish, that they have enough food. He was trying to catch fish in his small boat, and in one moment with a net, he catch up something very heavy. And he was pulling and pulling and pulling again and again. So in the end, some big, huge hands start to show up over the water. And then, you know, something was so shiny, and he was so afraid, and he was so confused. And after some time, he was able to pull out the big body, shiny body with the long legs, with the long hands, who was in amazing. It's like it was like a different world to see. And he was not sure, is this the man, or it's some creature, or it's from high planets? What is that? And he was thinking he's dead. So he took him up, he put him on the boat, and then when he touched body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something strange happened to him. He managed to bring his boat back, and devotees came, the news spread up that some fishermen find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally devotees got Chaitanya, they put him back in Gambira, but now there was not problem anymore with Chaitanya. Now they have problem with fishermen, because he developed bhakti just by touching the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he started also losing his consciousness, he started crying, he just thinking about Krishna, he could not catch his fish anymore, you know, he just could think about Lord Jagannath. So everybody, you know, he was coming and asking devotees, please help me, I don't know what is going on with me. I'm getting mad, same like your man, you know, I'm losing my consciousness. What I can do? What I can do this stage to stop? I want it to stop, I feel scared. They told him, there is only one way how you can stop it. Only one way how you can stop it. Commit Vaishnava Parad. Everything will stop in the moment. No problem. You can go back to catch your fish. That means you should offend some devotee. When you offend devotee, the magic will stop. That's a very good lesson for all of us also. Very good lesson that we have to avoid Vaishnava Parad, not just animal Parad, not just to kill animals without mercy, not just to do karma yoga, not just to perform everything, all our duties in the mode of, you know, I have to do it. We have to develop compassion and we have to develop love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only accepts love which is coming through Nityananda Prabhu. And we can satisfy Nityananda Prabhu only if we develop nice relationship with devotees. If we don't do any offense towards devotees. So if we are doing personal service for the Lord and for the deities even, it doesn't mean anything if we don't have a good relationship with devotees. It will not be accepted by the Lord. So we have to be careful just about that. And this is the place where I want to conclude my today's lecture. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bol. Any questions? Any comments? I'm sorry I keep you so late today. Yes, please. Mike, yeah. Finally, I got help. Hare Krishna Vasudeva Prabhu. Yes.
It's interesting that you didn't want to be called Bhakta. Bhakta what?
Bladan, my Karma name is Bladan.
Bhakta Bladan.
Yes, thank you.
But we also call Bhakta Prahlad because we don't say Prahlad Das or Prahlad Maharaj Das.
Right.
It's a very high address.
Yes.
And we don't realize this when we're a new devotee. In fact, when we get the name Das, we're happy.
Yes.
But, and we should be happy because we've been promoted to serving.
Right.
To service. Even though, technically speaking, we're going down from a bhakta, we're becoming a servant.
Yes.
And Srila Prabhupada once, he replied to a letter by a poet. He had written very nice poetry about his feelings, and he called himself a devotee, like, oh, your devotee is begging for mercy, something like that. And Prabhupada replied to him that, I really appreciate your poem, but a devotee doesn't call himself a devotee. So please write servant instead.
Right.
That was his only criticism of the poetry. Prabhupada insisted that we see ourselves as servants at whatever stage we are.
Yes.
And das anudas means exactly that we are the servant, hopefully, of the servant, because like you mentioned in the class, it's a very, very high stage to be a devotee. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Even there was some discussion was going on in PBT for a couple of years about that Dasa, Dasi, Devidasi, all those names, that it has to be written with a capital D. And official, right now, official is actually that D in Dasa and Dasi should be capital D, not small D. Sometimes, again, we are coming from our personal level. I want small D because I'm just small Das. But actually, Das is a title. Servant is title. Like doctor, like magistrate, whatever. Dasa is a title which we have to try to achieve. And that capital D will remind us always, actually, Haribol, that actually this is the level which we have to develop. This is the consciousness which we have to develop. It's part of our name, but it's actually something what we have to achieve. So official recommendation is actually the Dasa and Devi Dasi, and Dasi should be written with capital D. And should be actually, it's like a high school. This is something what we already achieve or we are trying to achieve. It's very high level, it's very high stage. It's actually not part of us, it's actually should become part of us. And actually when we become a perfect servant, become a perfect Das or Dasi, we are already on the level of bhakti. That means we serve somebody with love. That's also kind of love. There are five different kind of relationship with Krishna. One is serving. That's great. That's perfect. Perfection. Thank you very much, Vasudeva Prabhu, for sharing that with us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.